the challenge, we give the game our all. With sheer determination, we're going for the ball. For the Cloud Thunders, go Cats, we break the banner down. We know they'll play with courage till the final siren sounds. And the rival team will know that they've been run down by a pack. But you're eaten by, beaten by, defeated by the Cats. In a cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. In a cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong.
6-1, the Cat Attack podcast comes to you, and the Cats just continue to get better. It's like an afternoon on the gas with your mates. It just continues to get better, the Cats. And it's been quite an extraordinary opening 7 rounds. Welcome to our round, what are we up to, Kingy? Round 8.
Heading into round 8.
Round 8 of the season 2019. Ben Castagnelia on board once again. And Kingy, K-Rock's number one caller, I should say. Geelong, wow, that no Dangerfield, no Selwood, no worries for the Cats on the weekend.
No, it was pretty impressive, wasn't it? Even the fact, too, that they were able to adjust on the run. What did they concede? 18 inside 50s to 8 inside the opening quarter. I know they kicked the first three goals, the Cats, and then the Bombers hit back pretty hard, kicked the next four. Cats were able to steady by quarter time and then, you know, able to use the quarter time break to reset. Obviously then made some, you know, good adjustments in the midfield, and from there away they went. You do talk about, though, just like an afternoon on the gas with your mates just gets better. They can go pear-shaped occasionally too, Ben.
Yeah, they can, particularly when the strides are off and you're upside down in a shrub. That usually means that the night's over for you or you can't get in.
So hopefully that doesn't happen to the
locks
Cats.
Have been changed and you're frantically tapping on the door of your daughter's bedroom trying to get her to open the door and she won't. That's happened many a time, Kingy. So, yeah, look, those things can go pear-shaped. Let's hope the Cats season doesn't go pear-shaped. Right now, pear-shaped is the furthest thing from your mind when you're talking Cats. Geelong, Collingwood, GWS. Reckon there's a gap to maybe three or four goals to the next best team.
Yeah, it's probably the Eagles.
Yes. Well, the Eagles, yeah, correct. Yeah, you're probably right there. I mean, Richmond will maybe get some troops back and be a threat, but without Rance, geez, they just look a bit shaky. They were absolutely pummeled by the Bulldogs on Saturday night.
Yeah, like, and the Bulldogs have been going. The Bulldogs were beaten by Carlton.
Yeah, look, it's tipping.
A couple weeks before.
Couldn't tip poo off a shovel, but... Kingy, this is our awards episode.
What are we awarding?
We're our one-third season awards.
We're a
third of the way through, and we're having our one-third season awards.
Although Cat fans will be hoping they'll be playing, the Cats will be playing 25 games this year. Because if you play 25 games, that means you're playing off in the big one usually.
Well, I should preface it and say...
So we're a quarter of the way.
Well, we're one-third home and away season awards.
All right, what do you got?
So I've got, for me, biggest surprise...
You want me to give these?
Well, I've got mine. Oh, so my biggest surprise?
Graham Myers.
Yeah, okay, for you. My biggest surprise has been the team defence.
Yep.
Geelong leaked like the proverbial sieve last year at times, all over the place. And this year their team defence, particularly through the midfield, and their work rate of the forwards to even help defensively through the midfield, which then allows the defenders some extra time. It's been absolutely superb. Most improved player.
Ooh. Yeah, that's... I'm glad you've done this on... You've given me some notice.
Yeah, well, I just did it about 8 minutes ago, so I actually didn't have time to tell you. Most improved player for me is Mark O'Connor. He has been quite unbelievable for a bloke who didn't grow up playing the game.
Can it be a recruit? Does it have to be a current player?
No, it can be anybody.
Oh, Gary Rowan.
Okay, so Gary Rowan is the most improved player. Yeah, Mark O'Connor for me... Whoa. Oh, what's happened there? Somebody's just shit a diff. Have they? What's happened there?
I don't know.
Eardrums have just been absolutely blown out of my cranium.
Really?
Yeah, really. It's just gone extraordinarily loud for some reason. Yeah, so for O'Connor's just been, wow. I mean, Tip and Woody did a number on him on the weekend. He just gets better. You can actually, there's a little bit of Tom Stewart about.
There's a bit of flair.
Mark O'Connor. No, I'm not talking about potentially the way he plays.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you can actually see him develop week to week.
Yep.
You can actually see the development as a fan, and it's incrementally seems to be getting better each time he steps out. And he's cemented, well, as it stands right now, he's cemented his spot in the back six for the Cats. On the outer, the player who is there's always collateral damage when your team is going well, and there are some players who are on the outer. For mine, there's a couple. Well, James Parsons is one. He does. If he's playing, something's gone horribly wrong.
Sam Simpson.
Yeah, well, he's another one. So there's a
Simpson
couple.
Simpson will be in the squad this week. Simpson was outstanding. Simpson's a class above in the VFL.
Yeah.
And it's whether he can go up the notch.
Yeah, he's, so that's interesting too. But for me, Parsons, with the, you know, the advent of Myers, Atkins coming in, who can also go up into the midfield. James Parsons can't go into the midfield.
No.
You've got Dalhouse and Rowan. And then you've also got, you mentioned there, Simpson, and you've got Parfitt as well.
Narkle.
Oh, James Parsons, he's not playing senior football.
He's been an emergency just about every week.
Well, I don't know why. I just can't see him getting in. I reckon he's on the outer.
I tell you, the other bloke who's on the outer will be when he's fit. I reckon Jed Buse might struggle to get back into that Geelong side.
Yeah, well, trade bait for the Cats.
Well, Jed's out of contract at the end of the year.
He's the one I had, Jed Buse.
He's an unrestricted free agent. He's a restricted free agent.
So the Cats can match the offer, but they'll get donuts
I reckon he actually might be unrestricted because he was drafted at the end of 2011. So it's 8 years.
Well, so he can just walk out the door.
So he can go.
Well, yeah. Potentially that might happen. I mean, it'd be sad to see that happen, but that's footy. It's a business and you move on. But he's, at the moment, he's facing a massive challenge. So he's one that looks like being traded. The other one for me that could be trade bait is Zach Guthrie. I just, with Clark coming to the club, I know the club seem to think that down the track Clark will play up the ground.
Mm.
I reckon he's, that might be true and that might happen. But right now I just see him as a really attacking defender, which you've got to have.
Mm.
O'Connor's improved out of sight. Colajasny is still a very young player who now has established himself as a really reliable Dylan Grimes sort of defender.
Yep.
You've also got Tommy Stewart, who is still right in the prime of his career and has, five or six more years left. I just don't see where Zach Guthrie fits in. I know they played him on the weekend. The coaching staff seem to love him, but he might be one that you can look to trade out.
Yep.
To get something, you've got to give something. And Zach Guthrie will have, by the end of this year, maybe 20 senior games under his belt.
Yeah, I think he's got 17 or 18 now.
Maybe. So, and he's one that you could potentially look to move on. Because if you're moving players on, you've got to be able to have somebody who's there to replace them.
Yeah.
And Geelong have got plenty of those sort of defenders. Jack Henry's another one who's playing that role. So I reckon Guthrie and Buse could be... if you're mentioning Buse as a free agent, then that puts that to bed. But Zach Guthrie, the other one, the most important player in the team.
Blitzarves.
Yeah, well, I had Tom Hawkins. Only because Blitzarves... And I agree with you. It's Blitzarves and Hawkins. But Blitzarves, you have Lachie Henderson there. I mean, I know he's not Blitzarves, but you do have some sort of cover. You have Taylor who could play fullback and Henderson who could play centre-half back. And you've got Henry and Colajasny who potentially can play a little bit taller. So it would be catastrophic, you would have thought, but you have something there that you can at least say, look, I reckon we can cover it.
Yep.
Tom Hawkins goes down, you've got absolute donuts. So I reckon he's the Cats' most...
Well, they'd change how they structure up if Hawkins went down.
Well, they just can't win it without Hawkins. Oh. Simple as that. You can't have Radigalea as your key defender taking the best defender you get monstered, and he's just not experienced enough. They have no second tall forward.
Well, they've been working. The one they've been working on is Fort.
He's miles away. If you think he's going to come in, and he couldn't get a kick in the JLT.
He will probably be in the squad this week, I would suspect, because you would think that they're not going to play Radigalea off the back of that. Head knock.
No, you wouldn't have thought he'd definitely be out.
For if they're looking at the one that's coming in to play the ruck/forward role, it is probably Fort.
Okay.
In front of Abbott and Smith.
Be interesting to see how he goes.
Talking about blokes.
He was diabolical in the preseason.
Talking about blokes tradable. Zach Smith is out of contract at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, he's another one. Yeah, he's certainly on the outer. Can't put a foot wrong or they'll get dropped.
Can't put a foot wrong or they will get dropped.
Mine is, I got two. And they're interesting. They're playing really well. So this is not... I'm not talking about them getting dropped next week.
I reckon one is Dalhouse.
Yeah, well, I didn't have him, but I thought he's absolutely... I just don't know that... I mean, if you're saying Sam Simpson, Dalhouse is an experienced player. What, 26, 27?
Yeah.
I'm
just trying to read your mind here a little bit.
Well, mine is...
Which is really hard.
And these, like I said, these two guys are in form. One is Harry Taylor.
No, Harry's not going anywhere.
If he's out of form, I'm talking about.
Nah, I still reckon
If he was to have a month where he struggled.
I still reckon they stick by him.
you not only do you have other options, but you also potentially have matchups where there isn't a matchup for him.
Yeah.
So, and that matchup is potentially GWS.
Yeah.
Without a second forward, you can't. You wouldn't put Harry Taylor and Jeremy Cameron again. So I'm just saying.
So who plays on Finlayson then?
Well, Finlayson, you could put Henry or Colajasny. Finlayson's very much an inexperienced forward. Mm-hmm. He's not an experienced player playing up forward. So, like I said, Harry Taylor is playing great footy, but I'm just saying that if he was to have a 4 or 5 weeks where he struggled, yeah. There are other options down back. The other one for me is, and he's in good form too, is Metagola. So you have Constable.
He's played 50 straight games. Yeah, he's been.
And this is what's good about the Cats at the moment. There is pressure on. Mm-hmm. Guys who are playing really well. If it was to go pear-shaped, you're thinking, well, Scotty Selwood could come in potentially. Charlie Constable comes back in. Your midfield mix, there's plenty in there. Does Parfitt, do you need leg speed on a certain day? Parfitt go up and play more in the middle. We saw Tommy Atkins go and play in the middle. This is what's good about Geelong. And I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that Harry Taylor and Sam Manigola should be out of the team.
No.
All I'm saying is that if they were to have a period where they struggled, there are other options you could look at.
Okay. So if Dalhouse had a bad month, I reckon he would find himself in the gun.
Well, if anybody has a bad month at Geelong right now, they are going to be...
Other than
a couple of blokes who... And the one who is going to have a bad month or potentially struggle for a month is Orsava Radicalia.
Yeah.
But you've got to keep playing him.
Correct.
Because he's so important to the team. He's different to some of these other midfielders. The season highlight so far?
The number they did on Melbourne.
Yeah, it was a good effort.
80 points.
Mine is Gary Ablett. Anything Gary Ablett does, you just start to get the erogenous zone, start to get a bit of flaration, don't they?
Yep.
So he's turned the clock back a little bit, Gaz. Mm. Playing forward to centre. Every time he gets the ball, you get excited because you think you know something good is going to happen. So it's been great to watch Gary Ablett after 7 rounds. The biggest
35 next week.
35, goodness me. Imagine that they'll need the CFA to put out the birthday cake. The biggest disappointment?
From the Cats.
Yep.
Oh, gee, it's hard to find. What, losing by 4 points to GWS?
Yeah. Well, mine is, and it's not so much a disappointment, but mine is the medical staff and Nakia Cockatoo. What is going on with Nakia Cockatoo?
It's the PCL is still giving him issues. And as the club has explained... The PCL has given grief to a lot of players over the years. Was that what kept O'Meara sidelined?
He didn't miss this long, did he?
O'Meara missed 2 years of footy.
Yeah, right. Well, it's...
O'Meara last played in 2014.
So when did this happen? He trained okay in the pre-season. He seemed to. And then he got a hamstring and then...
He trained. And what happened was whenever he tried to go up a notch, it just wouldn't respond. He would experience soreness with it.
So...
He did have other issues as well. But when the push came to shove and he had to be at his explosive best in terms of the running and the like, he just couldn't. The knee didn't like it.
Well, it's disappointing for him and just can't get it wrong.
I wouldn't put it on the Geelong medical staff.
No, I just you got to chuck it out there. I'm not, but you've got to throw something out there. So that was the only thing I could find. It's not so much the biggest disappointment. It's disappointing for Cat fans that he hasn't been able to get out there.
GWS lost only because they led by 4.5 goals at one stage.
Yeah, Gary Ablett missed a target too in round one, so that was obviously another disappointment. The best and fairest winner.
Right now?
Yeah. No, of course.
Yeah, in October.
After 7 rounds.
Tim Kelly.
And do you know why Tim Kelly will win the best and fairest? Yeah. Geelong will make sure Tim Kelly wins the best and fairest, even if he does not touch the ball for the rest of the year, because it puts his price up at the end of the
year.
You're
very cynical.
Oh, that's exactly. Right now,
if I was Mark Blitzarves,
Tim Kelly wins Geelong's best and fairest. Okay. I guarantee you. I absolutely guarantee you. Patience required with a player. It's an easy one. Orsava Radicalia.
Yeah.
Just don't. If he has 3 weeks where he only gets 8 possessions, don't worry about it. You've just got to keep playing him. And his role within the team isn't always about possessions.
No. It's about how he crushes packs. And
goes into the ruck and the opposition ruckman starts to get the sphincter that starts to go in and out, which means he's absolutely pooping himself because his knee, the big Fijian's knee, is going to land the side of his cranium and he knows it. So he's
although that's what happened to Orsava last
week. Yeah, exactly right. He copped the dose of his own medicine, unfortunately. But look, you just got to get him to 60, 70 games. And then, I mean, look at Jeremy Cameron now. Look at the struggles Jeremy Cameron has. Is he the best player in the comp?
Cameron?
Yeah. Well, he's a gun.
He's the best forward in the comp.
Did you see some of the footy? I saw some footage last night of him. Some of his efforts in that game last week. Mm. Wow. His work rate.
Especially, and how good is he when the ball hits the deck?
Well, that's what makes him dangerous. But it's taken him how long? 7-8 years to get to that point.
This is it. Yeah, but he was good early.
He was good. He wandered off, but not good. He wasn't good in his first year or two.
What year did he play? He was an All-Australian in third year, I think.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's a top-end pick. Anyway, we need patience with Asava. Just let him do his thing.
Oh, and that's what they're going to give him. They're going to give him more.
He has one poor game, and people say, let's get him out of the team.
That's people who don't know what they're talking about.
They need a lobotomy. So, All-Australians for the Cats. Who's going to be in the All-Australian team?
Blitzarves.
Yeah, correct.
Stewart.
Well, I didn't have Stewart, but yeah, he'd be a chance.
Collar Jasny.
I didn't have him either. I think he's... Yeah, look, he's not your sexy defender.
Don't you? But you need... But the
He's very important, but he's not sexy. He's not going to be All-Australian.
Ablett.
I had Ablett, yep. I had Ablett.
Kelly. Yep.
Hawkins. And Blitzarves. Yep. In the mix, who are going to be potentially in the squad.
Yep.
Yeah, Tom Stewart. Yeah, I probably left. Yeah, Tom Stewart's a chance.
Yep.
Are they the only five? We're not even considering Dangerfield and Selwood, are we?
No. Selwood won't be.
Well,
roles changed.
Well, either will Dangerfield, will he?
No. No. Probably. No, he hasn't had he had his worst game in terms of output. And we know he's got a knee issue from whatever happened early in the game. That was his worst game in, I think, 8 years statistically, it was eight possessions. But the thing was, Geelong did it without him. And
well, that's what made it even more impressive.
And Selwood not playing and Tui being a late withdrawal. And
There's so many options. That's what my point about guys, if you have a bad patch, you're not guaranteed, because it also a little dependent on the opponent for the upcoming week. That's our 1/3 home and away season awards ceremony over. We tried to get Matt Latanzi to come out, Logie style, to be here on the red carpet for this awards.
But Olivia wouldn't let him in the country.
But then her next husband, he vamoosed as well. He went missing. They're all trying to get away from Olivia. But so Matt's going to come for our 2/3 of the season awards.
Why don't we get Daz Broncos in? Well, Daz hand over the envelopes.
Well, because he'll cock it up and he'll probably hand me an envelope that'll have pictures in it that can't be...
Well, you can't see him on this podcast. Anyway, can I ask, do you rest Ablett this week and really take the P155 out of the MRO process?
No, you rest Dangerfield, who's got a sore knee, and you wouldn't want to risk anything else happening that made it more serious.
So you play Ablett and you rest him the following
week?
Was
Ablett showing any signs that he was...
No, but it's not about showing
signs. No, I know that, but no. Short answer to that is no. Rest Dangerfield if he's got a cloud over him. Don't exacerbate an injury. Put Ablett in, give Ablett the next week off, and put Dangerfield back in.
Okay.
It's a pretty good position to be, because you bring Selwood back as well.
All right. Do you want to answer some questions from listeners?
Yeah.
Not just on Sunday too. I know you need to show up to every AFL game, but if the Cats are just even 0.5% off, North Melbourne will...
Yeah, this is a danger game for the Cats. Yeah. You're not going to stay up every week.
No.
And obviously, every grand final, every premiership team has a week or two in that season where they lose a game to an opponent who is not a finalist.
Yeah.
It's just the way of the world.
Other than the Cats in 08.
Bar that, and they didn't win it.
No.
But they lost to Hawthorn.
Yeah, lost to Collingwood during... Got pants by Collingwood during the year.
Yeah, that happened. I mean, you look at Richmond, the year they won, I think they lost to Frio.
St Kilda.
Yeah. It just happened. You can't... It's very difficult to play at the level Geelong are playing at for an entire season. In fact, it's almost impossible. You let your guard down, another team gets a run on. It's not the end of the world.
All right. At Twitter, at KROC Football, how many Cats have come through the non-traditional pathway? Does it help playing a year of higher local level? Example, Myers, Atkins, Stewart and Abbott. Myers only played a handful of games of GFL senior footy and then went into the TAC Cup year in the VFL, but that didn't hurt him, although he didn't have a great year last year. He was miles away. If you had have said at August last year that Grime Myers would be outstanding in the first seven rounds of season 2019 at AFL level, you would have laughed.
Yeah, somebody would have said that you potentially had a lobotomy.
Mm. So, but Atkins...
It doesn't hurt.
No.
It certainly doesn't hurt.
No.
And, I mean, we're seeing... I think it's much different. I think the grounding in the VFL, if you can cut your teeth in the VFL over a number of years, as in Stewart and Atkins, and then you can then and you're shown to be above average in that competition, I think that that grounding holds you in really good stead. I mean, even you think of just some draftees, like obviously Jordan Clark played senior footy in the Waffle, and Connor Rosie played senior footy in the Sandful last year. So it certainly doesn't hurt to have that grounding.
Arthur Hodson posed that question to us on the Twitter. Twiggy, don't think Henry gets enough credit given how little football he's played, 28 games. Kitty's unflappable, good in the air, and he's breaking lines now too.
Yeah, that's a good call.
That's from Twiggy.
Twiggy was just probably exploding in a burr, an old Alison Durbin and Coke when he penned that one. Yeah, that's a good call from Twiggy. He's another one. I mean, he, O'Connor, obviously Clarko being a first-year player, the upside for those three is enormous. And there's still upside in college, Asney. So they've got four really good defenders there who have still got plenty of upside. And O'Connor, they're talking about O'Connor being a future captain of the Geelong Footy Club.
Fantastic.
Goodness me.
Merrick.
Imagine, you'd have to get, as he delivers his sort of little huddle speech before the game, they might have to get George Danikian out there just to be his translator.
Oh, dear. He speaks pretty good English.
No, I'm joking.
The kid's unflappable. Coupled with, when you couple it with somebody, it's two
he
people.
He speaks pretty good English. That's his first language. I mean, what? You just can't understand it.
Sorry. Coupled with Colo 77, Stewie 50, and O'Connor 14. He's nuts. That's not a question. Roast lamb, chicken, beef, or pork?
What was that?
From Twiggy. Roast lamb, chicken, beef, or pork?
Oh, a little roast lamb. We don't have lamb at our house. It's a disaster. I love lamb. Absolutely love it.
Pork. Will.
What
will
about the meat?
Slash wood. Cats put Kiriko on the long-term injured list to gain a selection at the mid-season draft.
No.
No, they won't. No. He's probably 10 weeks away. Total player payments will probably come into it as well. So no, Cats won't be doing anything at the mid-season draft in about a fortnight from now. Mick Howley, how good of a field kick is Tom Hawkins? His 20 to 35 metre passes don't miss, and his handball out of congestion to a free player in the third quarter, I think, had the arousal levels lifting.
Yeah, good call, Mick. He's what you call a footballer. He's a natural footballer, Tom. He's always been quite light on his feet for his size, and his vision and capacity to bring others into the game by hand. You don't often see it in blokes who are sort of the hulking, you know, the traditional hulking sort of forward. And his field kicking, you're right, is first class. He's in career best, Tom Hawkins, and he's absolutely thriving on the fact that he's got some assistance. So it's not left to him, and he was probably wishing he had this assistance a couple of years ago. But he's still got a really good couple of years left in him. Know about that.
Adrian Mancini, the Cats' pressure across the ground was very noticeable against Essendon. Dullhouse has been huge in this. Is his recruitment underrated outside
Geelong?
Yeah,
Probably. They've just transformed the team, haven't they? I mentioned my biggest surprise was the defence. And part of that defence is that mosquito fleet. They're able to lock the ball in more, and it puts pressure. You know, the kick out of the back half is under pressure. The kick out of the midfield, then if the midfielder putting on pressure, is under pressure. Mm. And if you've got Blitzarves, Harry Taylor, and even to a degree, Henry, and Tui, obviously, and Stewart, the thing about those guys is they read the play really well. So if the kick's coming in under pressure, they're actually reading the play. And that plays right into Geelong's hands. So, look, yeah, it's pressure across the board, and that starts with those little guys up forward.
Last from Mick Howley, in regards to MRP findings, is this the worst case of Christians going against the Son of God since Roman times?
Oh, that was... Do you know what my theory is?
What's your theory?
They're probably not true, but The AFL make decisions to create some publicity. So let's give Gaz a week. He'll be all over the papers for 24 hours. People will be talking non-stop about AFL footy. He'll go to the tribunal, we'll let him off. It was just rubbish. I mean, the elbow, or the forearm actually hit Shield's shoulder first before it hit him. It didn't actually hit him in the head. It hit him in the back of the neck. So it was a free kick every day of the week. It was no more than that. Why it went to the tribunal.
It still cost him $2,000.
Yeah, how it could be classified as intentional originally. I was like the hungry baby in the topless barking. I was absolutely confused at that decision, and I will continue to be confused by just some of those decisions made by K-Rock's own former K-Rock's own.
Do we still claim
Michael
him?
Christian? Well, he does it when he's watching the races or the harness racing or the dogs, so it's probably difficult to concentrate.
All right, off the off the Cat Attack podcast thread on Big Footy, Daz Broncos, can we rename Colo as BP, the old quiet achiever?
Yeah, well, look, I'm not going to blow my own trumpet, right, but I am. I've said for years that Colin Jasny, you'll back me up, Kingy. I've said for years Colin Jasny was going to develop into a really, really good AFL defender.
Yep.
And people last year were, let's get rid of Colin Jasny, because they were trying to play him on the wing. It's not his go. He is a really, really good player who just took some time to find his feet. He still only played, what, 70-odd games? Wait till he's played 125 games. He's David Asprey, Dylan Grimes to the Alex Rance at Richmond. And those blokes are worth their weight in gold. And I'm rapt to see him play some really good footy. Even, I'll give you another example of blokes getting played out of position where they struggle. And I know it's probably not a great one because he's only played six games. But Jordan Clark on Sunday was asked to play the role on the wing of Joel Selwood. He couldn't get a kick.
Yeah.
He couldn't get a kick. It's if you don't play players in the position that they're suited to and equipped for, they will struggle.
Was kind of on the outer a bit with supporters over recent years, and while Harry Taylor Blitz and Tommy Stewart have been taking the misfit spotlight, Colo has been out there quietly accumulating forward scalps faster than the Washington Redskins have been receiving complaints about their name.
Oh, they're trying to that's just political correctness gone mad, trying to change the Redskins' name. And I'm not a big Redskins fan, but they are coached by a former Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator, so there is some love there, but not enough love to be wanting to change that name. That's ridiculous, and Daz is all over that. He loves it. His Denver Broncos are in for another crap year.
Tommy Stewart deserves a spray for not getting collar a look at goal in the last two
minutes. I'm sure he might have. I reckon he would have copped that all week.
And we gave it to him.
Because what happened was, you may not, if you're watching at home on the telly while listening to K-Rock, you probably may not have seen it, but Colin Jasny was actually standing in the goal square, and all his teammates had pushed up the ground a bit, so there was about 15 metres of space in front of Colin Jasny, so he was actually effectively one out in the square. All his teammates were on the same page, except Tommy Stewart, who wanted to kick a goal.
Next off the big footy, Larry Donoghue. Not Lee Larry Donoghue, but somebody with that
big lad.
It's a bit like you using Rod Ashman as Twitter handle. Given Charlie Constable did a full VFL year in preparation, that his games this year have been quality, why is he not being given regular games ahead of an older player? Charlie's one of the bright sparks that have set the Cats alight this season. I'd hate to see him get discouraged by flawed decisions. I would suspect that it was matchups against Essendon. It was speed.
Potentially. I mean, he's not going to get discouraged. Still only a second-year player. He's played... What did he play? Six games? Five games?
Five.
No, I don't think he's getting discouraged. It's just part of the growing process of players. And I mean, well, Colin Jasny spent, what, a couple of years in the VFL, didn't he?
One. Constable?
No, Colin Jasny. Would have spent a couple of years in the VFL.
In and out, yep.
You know who spent a year and a half in the VFL? Paul Chapman.
Yep.
Couldn't get a game in the seniors.
No.
There's nothing wrong with playing in the VFL. This is part of the problem with AFL. That let's put it this way. The kid who's getting discouraged because he's playing in the seconds in his first or second year and he's not happy about that and wants to move club, get rid of him.
Yep. Botsmaster, question for the week. What did you think of Zach Guthrie's game, and should he get another shot at senior footy? The internet says, no, he shouldn't.
I just don't. Yeah, look, he didn't play poorly. Okay, let's put it this way. We're not there every week at training sessions, and we don't see everything. But I'm just not sure what they see in him. I don't know. I'm just not sure. And when it comes to the crunch, I think that, Colin Jasny is certainly ahead of him.
Yep.
Jack Henry's ahead of him. Mark O'Connor, I reckon, now has certainly gone past him. And you've got Stewart and you've got Tui.
You got Buse to come back.
Well, yeah, that they may be fighting for a spot. But as it stands right now, when the push comes to shove, and if everybody's available, which is a big if, I don't see Zach Guthrie in the team.
All right. I just want to know your thoughts on how Quinton Narkle is tracking in the VFL this year. Wasn't able to see the VFL game Sunday, but I've heard reports he's been a bit out of form and almost looking a bit disinterested. I've watched a little bit of VFL this year. I think I've seen two games of the four they've played. I wouldn't say he looks disinterested. I don't think anybody would ever look.
He's just going though, isn't
AFL level. He was better on Sunday.
He's not knocking the door down.
No, he's not. He has been an emergency once or twice, but yeah,
and given the role that he is looking to break into, if he breaks down the door, the first door, then there'd be a second door, and then potentially a third door.
Yeah, he's got some work to do.
So it's sort of
he might be one at the end of the year.
It's like a bit like the haunted house at the show.
Yeah.
For Quinton Narkle, he's got a few barriers to break down before he gets a look at it. And he has to be playing exceptional footy in the VFL for them to even look at him, given the options they've got.
Do you package him up at the end of the year with Kelly and get a really good deal?
That could be one. Oh, definitely. He's a West Australian boy. You know, they've got... You're saying that they might look at it and think Sam Simpson... Narkle and Simpson are probably similar types. Hmm. If they're, you know, pick one and look to move the other one on, Narkle, you do package him up and it's sort of a Demtel, get someone to do a late night ad Demtel, throw in some steak knives, Tim Kelly, Quinton Narkle and half a dozen steak knives and, yeah, that could be the go.
Yes.
You can't hang on to everyone.
No, you can't.
And you've got to make decisions on what on players and... That's why I think that they've got a few there on the fringe, the Cats, and yeah, you might be right. That could be a good call from you, Tom.
Yeah, real one.
No, you make many, many, many good calls.
Yes. Right, Benny, we're going because it's been a long time. Now, for those who are listening, this has been done prior to Chris Scott facing the media on Thursday. So in terms of team news, we're a little bit blinded by that. But by the time you listen to this, we might have some indication. So please take that into account when you have.
I'll give you the team key
today. Out Dangerfield?
In Selwood.
Is that it? What about Tui?
In Tui, out Zach Guthrie.
Okay, two changes.
There it is.
No life for Constable?
I'll put in... Do you want me to contact their old time?
Yeah, if you like.
well, Constable, who's he going to come in for, though?
Well,
don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Carrick Footy live from midday Saturday, Carlton and Collingwood, and then Sunday from the special time of 11 a.m.
Yeah, we're on. I'll just set the alarm for that one. Hoping to have two pre-game. Obviously, talk to Sean Higgins before the game. He'll be playing against the Cats, K-Rock's own. So it's always great.
He stiffed us a couple of weeks ago. He decided to get sick and not turn up.
Every time he's supposed to be on K-Rock, he had to see the plastic surgeon the time before that. So wasn't able to fulfil that commitment either. And also, hopefully, not confirmed, but hopefully having the mother of the Selwood clan,
magnificent.
Marie, on. So have a bit of a chat on Mother's Day on Sunday. So something a little bit different, K-Rock footy style.
And a debutant in the Goddings Experts chair.
Yes, we have Mick Barlow, the former Docker and Gold Coast Sun, will be making his debut alongside Justin Longmire on Sunday. So looking forward to that and looking forward to seeing the Cats. It's a really interesting game against... this is the first game where they will go in as... the first game where you looked at the fixture, thought they'll go in as raging favourite.
Yep. Yeah, the other seven were all, they could go either way.
Yeah, and it's a really, really good little mental challenge for them because their best wins.
Yep.
Can they sustain for an 8th week? Because it can be pretty difficult to do.
See you, Benny.
Good luck.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.